Hi, it's Joe.
Hi, friends. Aislinn here.
And we want to welcome you to the second half of season 3 of Dinner Table Talks.
We are so glad that you are here at our table with us, and we are looking forward to all of the great talks that we're going to have.
If you enjoy what you hear, tell a friend.
Grab a drink and get your most comfortable chair.
Pull it up to the table because we're about to get into it. I'm a little bit under the weather, and you gave me a fistful of supplements.
Well, all I'm giving you is a daily immunity. That's basically what I'm looking for. I want to make sure. It's like feeding your plants. You're feeding yourself. All just different types of immunity things.
Well, I mean, as we sit at this table week after week after week, one thing that I do learn is how important this notion is of anti-inflammatory.
Oh.
Your journey with wheat and gluten-free.
Yeah. How our body reacts to different types of things that we ingest.
Mm-hmm.
We need water. We need minerals. We need all different types of nutrients that come from plants. We do not need coffee.
You speak for yourself.
Well, it's an interesting thing. My friend Andrew Edelin said the other day when I was talking to him that he doesn't drink coffee, just doesn't like it. We were talking about the guy next door, the roasted coffee beans that you purchased. What's the name of that company?
Donkey Kick Coffee? Donkey Ass
Donkey's,
Coffee?
No, Donkey's Butt.
Donkey's butt. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. That's kind of cute. I was like, that's kind of funny.
Quick rabbit trail. If I'm at a farmer's market and someone has done some self-roasting of coffee, I will buy it.
Yes. And yes. Give them a try for sure.
Give them
try
a try.
It out. Ask them about where they're getting their beans from, all that kind of stuff. So anyways, Andrew throws out this thing. He doesn't like coffee. And I thought and said to him, you know, thinking about how old I was when I actually really committed to coffee, I was probably about your age. It was after my second child was born, and I was convinced that I couldn't wake up anymore, and I needed to put some coffee in my life, mm-hmm. and then I learned to love coffee. And now every once in a while, like my mom's on this Whole 30 thing, and it cuts coffee out, and I know how hard that is.
Mm.
And that's the one, things like that, where I'm like, oh,
like a sugar fast, you can have coffee, you just can't put sugar in it.
Yes,
but that Whole 30, no coffee, that does not sound like fun.
Whole 30 is a different thing. It is truly fasting for elimination.
Right.
To cut things out of your diet that are inflaming and making you sick and all of that.
Back to it, yeah.
Exactly. So if you take certain types of supplements that are truly across the board anti-inflammatory, especially if your body has a lot of different types of inflammation issues like pain in your joints or headaches or, you know, things like that, then that's one of the things. Things that you can take that make your stomach be able to like balance its bacteria, its gut bacteria better. All kinds of just things that help your entire body
work the way it was intended.
Activate a little bit better. Okay. Work a little bit better. Well, everything I'm taking is good for you too. I'm not taking anything that is like special for women. There's a possibility that at some point in my life, you know, that might be a shift. So I gave you a fistful of stuff. It's all about immunity. It's all about giving your body what it needs to be stronger. And you should do it every day for prevention because this stuff works best that way.
Right. I tend to do that, don't I?
Yes.
Hey, I'm sick.
I'm sick. What do
give
I take?
Give me some good stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I will give you the good stuff because anytime you ask Aislinn to give you the
way,
good stuff,
the
you'll get the good stuff. But Joe, after you feel better, don't stop.
Right.
Keep putting the good stuff inside your body.
Keep putting wellness as a priority.
But don't be a hypocrite, Joe.
But the answer to what I actually gave you is too long to list. I mean, I would love to have a conversation with folks some point out here or gardening about the different supplements I take and pull out my actual jars at lunchtime or mm-hmm. whatever. But I'm not going to do that here on the podcast.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I noticed that you were drinking one of those electrolyte bubbly things in your water.
Dr. Aislinn's prescribed it for me.
So basically, I'm just giving him anything to like boost his immune system.
Mm-hmm.
High sodium electrolyte for people that are working outside or exercise or whatever. And when you're sick, you need to up those things anyways. I was hearing a farmer from Texas say one of the ways they keep themselves cool in the summertime, and we get temperatures in the 90s pretty much 9 months out of the year.
Triple digits at the hottest part of day right now.
Yeah. He said electrolytes, of course, everyone knows that one, but he was like, vitamin C, up your vitamin C intake. So I've been trying to do that so that my body regulates temperature even better.
Well, you did say increase the number of fermented things that you're eating, that gut biome. We've talked about it so many times.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm super excited about this. We talked about tapache a few weeks ago. a simple, simple way to create a fermented drink inside your home. Mm-hmm. You buy a whole pineapple, you cut it up to serve. There is waste, the rind, the top, the core. Well, set the top aside, but put the rind, well washed, and the core, the pieces you're not intending on eating, into a jar, fill it full of water, add a dash of cinnamon, add some brown sugar. That's the sugar that the yeast, the natural yeast and bacteria, use as fuel to create the fermented beverage. Put a piece of cheesecloth over it with a rubber band. Let it sit for 3 days, stirring it once a day.
Easy.
Easy. Mm-hmm. We just don't buy that many pineapples.
Well, this time of year, I'll buy a couple.
Exactly. Seasonality.
Seasonality.
So they're 100%. At the grocery store. I bought a pineapple.
Yeah.
I made tapache a few weeks ago. It lasts for a good while in your refrigerator. And we had the opportunity to serve a glass to your mom and others, to talk about it in conversation at places. In fact, We were at a birthday party for a friend talking about our tapache. And another friend said, how much is a pineapple these days?
Yeah. I was curious.
How much is a pineapple, you think? A fresh, whole pineapple at the grocery store.
I honestly have no idea.
Just take a guess.
$7.
$3. $2.99.
Ah, seasonally
priced.
They have a big
table full of pineapples. They're only $2.99 a piece. So I could imagine us doing this and making tapache while the pineapples are in season.
Do you know how to find a ripening pineapple?
A ripening pineapple?
Right. So that when you bring it home, you can, if you need to, you can either go ahead and eat it then, or you can leave it sitting on your counter for a few days.
I mash them. I kind of squeeze them.
Really?
To see if they're soft or really hard. And then I take a whiff. And if it smells pineapple-y, I bring it home.
Yeah. They will actually turn yellow. You know, you think about like a pineapple, the peel of a pineapple is green because we're eating unripened pineapples quite often.
Often.
Yes.
Well, once you make your tapache, you have it available. It stays for weeks in the refrigerator. And I'm telling you, this is just an easy way to get fermented, delicious food inside of you.
Mm-hmm. I'm also kind of addicted to salt right now. So I've been taking the cantaloupes from my garden and the watermelons you've been buying and the pineapples and sprinkling some of that tahine and salty whatever and eating fruit.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite nice during the summertime.
Oftentimes unanswered questions are just me looking up something that we don't know. But this week, you went on a fact-finding mission.
Ooh. Unanswered questions.
Last week's staycation that you talked about, that you went on all on your lonesome for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
You landed at that great Mexican food restaurant that we'd been intending on going. You had their birria, the lamb stew. Guajillos on Padre Island.
Mm-hmm.
You were reading their menu. We didn't know what, off the top of our heads, what sopa azteca was.
So you're cracking me up with your radio voice right now. Hears me laugh right now is going to laugh because they're going to have heard it
I'm not trying to make
too.
A radio voice. I'm trying to make my... You hear my voice? I told you I'm not under the weather.
I'm doing
what I can to make my voice sound what I believe is normal. I'm going to give it to you the way that it is without any inflection.
Yes, I tried the...
You went back.
Yes, I went back because I decided that in the summertime, I need to give myself a day of water, beach, waves.
And you want to support this restaurant that has got gluten-free all over their menu and everything we talked about last week.
I just liked it. I liked the food. I liked the people. Yeah. That's the thing for me.
It's walked in the door, you said, and they were very excited to see you.
They were. And I was also like, hey, I've got a friend coming right behind me, and she's a chef as well, and we needed to meet up. I've brought her over to try you guys out. And I told Faye, you have got to try the birria. Because I know her. She'll eat lamb, goat. You know, she's like that as well. So I'm like, that's the one. You want to go for that one. That's your first try.
Do you want the thing you can get anywhere else? Or do you want the thing you can only get here?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So get this one. And she's like, absolutely. So she got that. But I did get the sopa azteca.
So you can answer the question for us. What was it?
Well, what I got didn't have any meat in it. Because... you know, I ate the lamb, but I don't eat other types of things that they would put in it.
When you're out and about.
This is a 4-chili broth soup. And then it says they usually add shredded chicken. So normally sopa azteca would be shredded chicken with this broth, basically a chili broth around it. Mine just had some corn tortillas added to it. And then on the side, it was served with sour cream, avocado, queso fresco, and a roasted chili ancho.
I had done the research. And they call it a traditional chicken tortilla soup. Usually the corn chips on the bottom and the tomato-laced broth on top.
So I think that someone who eats chicken at a restaurant or making something like that here at home, I think it
we'd add the chicken.
I think it's fantastic. I also got to try that cactus salad that I mentioned.
Right, I was curious about that. That's a very South Texas, Northern Mexican thing.
So it's nopales, and then queso fresco. Yeah, and it's got a little bit of a vinegary flavor to it.
How was it? I'm not a big fan of nopale in the times that I've eaten it, but maybe I haven't eaten it in a place where they're really putting some tender loving care into the dish.
Well, Faye and I talked about this specifically about the nopales. We've had really bad nopales before. Everyone has. And so it kind of makes you steer clear of
right,
them.
Right, right.
But what we were thinking, she asked me, do you think this is fresh? I probably should have asked him. I'm not 100% sure, but I know it's good. So what she was asking me is, did they get these nopales from somewhere and like cook them down themselves and pickle them themselves to make them for this salad? Or do they have, and she said these words, do they have a good purveyor? Like they're buying it from a good quality product.
Every time, yeah.
Yes. And so they're serving a quality product that tastes good.
Would you order it again?
Yes, abso-freaking-lutely. It was good. And I would go back there again. Now, I can't go back like once a week because they're going to start to think I'm a little bit stalking.
And you'll burn yourself out.
I will. That's no joke.
Well, take me next time.
There's so many things on that menu I want to try. And I think that for also for people that eat meat, you'll be very happy with the way they're doing and the choices they're making with spinach chicken enchiladas. And just like, I'm really curious about some of the flavors other people try with that stuff.
And the majority of the people that are listening to us don't live near us necessarily. So, I mean, really for me, it's just a charge. Go find something unique where you live. It's out there.
There's got to be an authentic Mexican food restaurant, if not in your town, in the closest metropolitan that you go to.
Go get it.
Yeah.
Last week's random question of the week, I made it up. Remember, I said, what is our go-to dish, if there is one, for when we have friends over and are cooking a meal from them? We came up with tacos at the end of the day for a dinner party we were going to have. I made those tacos.
Yep, you made the classic Joe tacos.
Classic Joe tacos.
And I was like, don't forget, I definitely want the pico and the guacamole. And so you made that for our tacos.
That's step one when I make tacos.
Yes.
I make a very large bowl of pico de gallo.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't be easier.
And it had my onions in it.
Fresh tomatoes, fresh onions, fresh jalapeno, fresh cilantro, lemon juice, garlic, salt.
Delicious pico.
Lime juice. Or lemon juice, but lime juice this time.
I love that one of our guests dug into the pico and said, this is like literally my favorite snack.
I hand cut those tomatoes. That's first. Then the onions are a function of tomatoes. You have to have the right ratio. Then cilantro, go nuts. I use a ton of cilantro in my pico de gallo. Then that lemon juice and salt and garlic, tasting it with tortilla chips to get it just right. Now, when that's done, I move on to my guacamole.
You take the pico and put it into the guacamole.
I get the avocado spooned out of the shell into a big bowl. I used your mom's borrowed potato masher, which I need to purchase a potato masher to make guacamole with. I gave it back to her last night.
It's funny when she handed that one to us. She goes, I guess we only need one of these between two households.
No,
and
no,
then
no.
You're like, no, we need more.
I'm going to buy
an
old-fashioned potato masher.
For avocados.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But a big blob, a big amount of pico de gallo into that. More cilantro, more lemon juice, salt, and pepper. That's really all that I do for my guacamole. And it's tasting
it. Did you use my cilantro salt?
Of course. Well, now I've got the side dishes prepared, right? The sides are created.
We got our nibbling foods.
And then when I'm not going to go deep into the tacos because I've done that so many times. But guess what I do before I put the meat in? I fry up a big helping of that pico that is now incorporated into my taco meat.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Cumin, chili powder, paprika, salt, pepper. I sound like a jazz radio guy right now. Coming up next, I'm John Coltrane. One more note, I made regular tortillas for the majority of the folks that came over, but I made you, of course, some gluten-free tortillas, and I've got to tell you, your parents went up on a day trip to San Antonio, texted us, anything you need from Trader Joe's? I needed to go to the store to get the gluten-free tortillas that we usually purchase, Siete brand. But I said, hey, can you just check out their gluten-free tortilla situation? She sent back a photo. Yes, 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 buy those, please. Just to try something new, right? That's the theme, isn't it? These Trader Joe's quinoa based tortillas, better than Siete brand. Or I'm burnt out on Siete brand and I just got to try something new.
Well, one we could also try some of the different varieties that they make, because we always buy the Cassava, but we could try like almond again and try some of the other ones too. But now that we know that these are good, then when we're in a Trader Joe's place, yeah, we'll pick some up. And here's me just planting seeds that may never even develop. But Dinner Table Talks goes to San Antonio and shops at Trader Joe's and then brings, you know, the Trader Joe's stuff home, you know, a caravan or something like that. Be kind of fun. Planting seeds.
It was a follow-up with a group of friends. One of them, male, I met for the first time last week when we talked about it.
Yeah.
He came over.
Yeah.
In a separate conversation with some male friends all the way back from high school, we have talked about how difficult it is for men, us three anyway, to make new male friends. And that seems to be a commonality in the world, that when you get to be our age, you have put up things that you didn't have in first grade when you just walk up to somebody, will you be my friend? You know, once upon a time. But he and I believe, kind of really bonded at this dinner thing we had at our house because I let him talk. I said at the beginning, hey man, as we're getting to know one another, I tend to completely monopolize the conversation. If I'm doing that, please just tell me to shut up. He goes, no, sometimes I don't mind that at all because I don't really want to talk. But in being purposeful and mindful about it, I kind of let him talk. He has had a deviated septum, uh-huh, and we got into this deep rabbit hole about deviated septums. He explained to me, I broke my nose 3 times and never went to the doctor. Mm-hmm. I said, let me tell you a story. When I was in college, we were playing Ultimate Frisbee, and someone said, hey, Joe, and I turned my head to the right to find out who was calling my name. At the exact same time, not intentionally, a Frisbee was coming right at my head. And that Frisbee hit me square in the nose and blood went doosh out both nostrils down. And I don't know if I broke my nose because like this gentleman that...
This gentleman.
Gentleman. Gentleman Kala. What? I know, right? That didn't make any sense. Because like the guy I was talking to, I just kind of kept going with my life. I wiped the blood away. I'm not dying, so let's just move on. I don't know if I should have gone to the doctor or not, but I know at that moment my septum was deviated because I have never been the same when it comes to being able to breathe clearly and easily through my nose. One nostril is usually stopped up. It alternates. And he's confirming everything that I'm saying. Mouth breathing at night because my nose just isn't operating as a breathing hole.
You sound like this when you have a cold.
I sound like this all of the time. Yeah, I have a nasal quality to my voice that comes from my nose perpetually being stopped up. And I've always believed that a deviated septum surgery was a thing you could do, but a thing I didn't want to do. And he has got it done. And he was explaining, you don't understand, when they take that gauze out and it's like seeing for the first time, or videos of children getting cochlear implants and hearing for the first time. Like, you don't know how good it is to be able to breathe through your nose because you haven't been able to for so long. I'm not considering doing it, but all of a sudden I've got this blip on my radar of, would that be a huge increased quality of life? And I already know your position. Surgery, Joe, really?
Yeah, I understand, though. I had surgery on my mouth. So if it's that kind of thing, it comes to that place where you just feel like, yeah, quality of life. And sooner than later is better, because the programming we live in is the older you get, the more your body has a hard time healing. So my memories are coming up on Facebook, and it's that time of year when planting seeds, organizing my seeds, preparing for how, where I'm going to plant, where I'm going to do whatever new things I'm going to do for basically the entire next year. So the winter of 22, 23, spring of 23.
Let me do some color commentary here. You order seeds every year from different seed companies.
Yeah.
Usually I will get a phone call or the text version of, my seeds are in. Yay! You know, it's the most, yeah, one of the most exciting days, or a series of days throughout the year. But the other night you sat on the couch for hours in what appeared to be a creative bliss as you were going through, I guess, these seed catalogs to determine what you intended on purchasing.
Well, yeah, this year I'm doing it a little bit differently, but there's a lot of planning. And you're correct. It is this like creative space where I'm to the point where I'm like, nope, I'm not doing anything else tonight because this is happening right now and it mm-hmm. needs to happen. Mm-hmm. And it's a creative project and I'm sitting in the middle of it right now.
I'm so glad you had this creative epiphany alone, because I think that that was the first night that I really wasn't feeling well. And I came home and I never do this. I fell promptly asleep on the couch.
Yeah. I was glad you were taking a nap and I was glad and I was doing my own thing.
You're glad
and
I couldn't bother you while you did your seats.
Kind of. Yeah, actually. And that I was doing it. I mean, seriously, this is one of those things where it's like, when you finally are doing that thing that is so important and you need to spend some time creating and focused on it, staying in that space of seed planting ideas mm-hmm. is essential. So what I'm learning or feeling or downloading, if you will, is this idea that we are, as a collective, in that space that you literally described a minute ago, where I'm like in the middle of the seeds, ideas, and all the things are all around me, and I'm in this space of bliss creating. Mm-hmm. I'm writing in my journal. I'm making a list of what I think I want to do. I'm going through the seed catalog, and I'm mm-hmm. looking at what plants am I going to plant this year? Not necessarily varieties even yet. I'm just looking at them and going, I think I want something this. I think I want this. I think I want to do this.
I imagine there's a portion of reflecting back on this past season and what worked well. What do I need to do differently to make some things that didn't work so well work better? Because I do want to harvest that plant at the end of the whole process.
100%. I'm doing a full shift in seed starting timing. Now I've got 2 years of truly planting seeds in the dirt out here. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at that and going, okay, well, what worked best? What worked during a flood? Now I've seen a flood and a drought and a freeze. I mean, like, I've seen everything in the last few years. And I'm like, okay, I'm developing this space, but I'm preparing mm-hmm. now in this time period.
How do I grow? How do I perfect technique?
Yeah.
What worked? What didn't?
Yeah. I'm not doing the labor of planting right now.
Too hot.
I'm doing the labor of
intention.
Yeah, creating. I'm sitting in a space of creation to prepare for what's coming. I feel like, that's why I said, I feel like this is what's happening in the collective right now. I think that people that are processing the traumatic 2 years that we just went through. Mm-hmm. So like, no matter what type of trauma,
<won't> stop.
Yeah, no matter what type of trauma you had already dealt with before 2020,
right.
I'm kind of I see myself as kind of a trauma addict. So I've been through a lot of trauma, but if you had not been up before 2020, you have now been through some trauma over the last 2 years.
Right.
So now we're in this space of, we're all kind of sitting here. Is it boredom? No, it's time for us to sit in that space of bliss and do some creative planning.
Yeah. If the world is headed in this direction, and it's difficult to define that direction, but if the world is headed in this direction, what trees do I want to see in a year, 5 years,
exactly.
10 years?
Exactly.
And unless I plant the seed for those.
Uh-huh. And people need to understand.
I'm a passive participant.
A 50-year-old man and a 43-year-old woman planting trees today means it has nothing. We're not planting trees for ourselves.
Right.
My dad's not planting trees anymore for himself. He's planting trees for his great-great-great-grandchildren. I mean, like, he's planting trees for the future. It's a season of creativity. It's a season of sitting in the ideas and beginning to think about, really, what am I going to do based on what I have learned for me over the last 43 years of going through life? What do I want the end of 22 to look like? What do I want 23 to look like?
Yeah.
What do I want the world for my great-grandchildren to look like?
And am I going to float down a river created by others, or am I going to put a f***ing motor on my boat, you know, to get to a different place? Because I'm in a level of unrest with where the world is taking me.
I'm
going to move forward by some design of mine, not this ugly.
See, I keep saying it's this interesting place that I'm in with this time that we're in right now. It's a creative float. It's a creative flow. One of the things that's happening right now is I'm going out there to the water and I'm working through the breaks of the waves mm-hmm. and the crash and the mm-hmm. crash. I'm working through that. And it's hard because you're going against the current. The current that's bringing those big waves in is pulling you back out and pushing you. And you're trying to move out past the break. And once you get past the break and you get in between wave sets, you get to float. And it is the most miraculous floating feeling. And in that floating feeling, we have this ability to begin to create the ideas of what something could look like way out there in the life beyond us, in the lives of our children's, in the lives of whatever,
yeah.
what things could look like here in the garden. And this is, we spoke about this when I said that we, you and I, we sit on ideas and we talk about them. And then
I take no guilt or shame in the idea that we have talked about mm-hmm. a cookbook for mm-hmm. a long, long time and it hasn't executed yet. It will execute in its time, but that yeah. is an example of a seed that we have planted.
Yeah.
The seed of someday, the seed of when it's time, the seed of when the resources come together at the proper moment to do that. But the seed is planted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's some kind of quote, the true meaning of life is to plant trees under whose shade you do not expect to sit. That's, I think, what you're talking about.
Yeah, and to me, that's a big deal of this whole concept that I've been talking about short-sightedness when it comes to everything that's working in the corporate system of this world. Let me just put the fire out immediately mm-hmm. without any foresight into how that's going to affect your mm-hmm. great-great-great-grandchildren. Mm-hmm. That's the reason legacy has been a huge value to me and my family. It's
yeah.
because we care about the future generations of life that we birth, the biology that we birth into this world.
It is for us, but it is purposely for those that come after us.
Absolutely. And it's for no matter what happens after us, because that's the thing. That's a part of the traumatic feeling. We're in a space of, I heard someone say, a trauma hangover, because we've just been through 2 years of trauma after trauma, change, shift, trauma, react, trauma, response, mm-hmm. change, shift, trauma, mm-hmm. response. Just the idea of transition and change for some people.
Daily crisis.
Daily change.
Daily
is
crisis
hard.
Fed to us.
Yes. And I heard someone talking about this concept of we're in a space right now where we're kind of recovering from a trauma hangover.
Some of us are, some of us aren't. Some of us are fully in that river being pushed along by the cycle of here is the new thing you need to be fearful of. Here is the thing that you are unprepared for. Mm-hmm. Here is the thing. That, again, is a very passive notion. So for me, when I think about a seed that I'm planting, and it's going to sound so, so silly, but it's come up a couple of times in the recent past. What is my plan to engage, not engage, be pushed around by, or to push around this upcoming election cycle? I know. It's
I don't
something,
even want
to... I know. So to remove yourself from these things that have been coded into you, especially in the last 2 or 3 years,
mm-hmm. yeah.
is not so easy.
Yeah, this
I have
is,
to be purposeful
me...
about avoiding it.
This
period.
Is about me letting go.
I don't
go.
Want to have a talk about it. I don't want to be engaged. I'm planting that seed now because it is coming. And that might be an example that is very Joe specific,
mm-hmm.
but I'm suggesting to everyone that I know, just don't look. Just yeah. don't participate. Plant that seed now.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. And no, this is actually perfect because what I was going to say is that the programming and the coding makes us feel guilty and obligated
Obligation.
To do this specific thing. And mm-hmm. I'm like, if it's no longer working, why will I continue to participate in it? I know that it's not working. How do I move forward with planting the seeds for what's going to work in the future
yeah.
and stop putting shit fertilizer
yeah.
on trees that are dead. Like literally cut the tree down.
Well, I told someone the other day.
And start putting life into new life.
We as a society are playing Monopoly. Pick a game, whatever. We're playing Monopoly and Monopoly is no longer the solution for the life and game that we're playing. We're playing the wrong game.
Mm-hmm.
Stop playing that game.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be difficult because you've been playing that game for so long.
It's very difficult. Ask both of us because we're constantly finding each other in the game again
oh.
and trying really hard not to be triggered when we
in
say,
long,
you're in the game.
Yeah,
you're
in a
long
term relationship, you dance a dance.
Mm-hmm.
And part of our dance is, did you hear about?
Mm-hmm.
And you reminding me,
Or you reminding
no,
me,
no, I haven't.
Too.
I understand, but this is the example I'm using. You reminding me, no, Joe, remember, I didn't hear about that because I'm not looking for that.
Yeah.
It's like, well, hold, okay, I didn't mean to offend.
So what they're doing here is trying to make me mad at someone I like.
We're,
so do you want me
here.
To be mad at someone I like? Because the media is just trying to make me mad at someone I like.
Right.
And I don't give a shit. I want to like who I want to like.
It's important to me that I don't continue taking in what I have found to be toxins.
Yeah. It's just practice, I think. And as it relates to this kind of creative time and this trauma hangover that I feel like we're all kind mm-hmm. of, that it's okay
numbness,
to sit in a
numbness.
Feeling of boredom. Mm-hmm, like that's a part of it. So it's okay to sit in a feeling of boredom, but also spend some time doing some of those things in that space of boredom, just feeling what it feels like to feel unsatisfied. Why does my body feel like it needs to constantly be in like fight or flight mode? Why do I feel like why are my shoulders always up around my ears? Why am I always catching a cold?
Or
why
recognizing that when I'm in a state of boredom, that the solutions I have found prior to now aren't alleviating the feeling. But I'm doing something. Pick up my phone and look at the news feed.
Yeah.
Pick up my phone and look
yeah.
at some social
like,
media stream. Now I'm
none
doing
of it
something.
Even works anymore.
I was bored and I'm trained to pick up my phone and now I don't feel better,
no.
but I did something.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I think that that's what I like about this concept of sitting in the idea of intentions and seed plantings with just even creating, you know, what we want for the future. For me, mm-hmm. doing actual physical work mm-hmm. that relates to this like far-fetched vision of the future mm-hmm. is helpful because I can take the thing that's far out from my mind and bring it into like, okay, today I'm going to plan my 22-23 garden planning guides to today. And I'm mm-hmm. going to make decisions about what seeds I need to purchase for the rest of this year. And I'm going to decide if I'm going to develop any new gardens this next year. I told you that I want to do asparagus.
Yeah.
That's a seed I planted when I said that. I want to do asparagus bed. I've got to get it done by November. If I'm going to do that, I got to plant a seed. I've got to plant the seed of rabbits. I'm going to keep sending you information. I'm going to be reading information. I'm ready to launch this next project
right.
off. And that's the thing that I do love about our relationship. The way we develop a tree, the way we develop a project,
yeah.
part of that is the hands in the dirt learning we've done together with planting seeds and creating ideas over the last decade.
Yeah. And,
because
and,
we've done a lot of that together.
And dancing our dance, because you and I are different when it comes to, okay, let's pull the trigger now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I frustrate you sometimes. I don't pull the trigger, I think, as quickly as you want me to.
Mm-hmm.
The trigger eventually gets pulled and the project eventually gets done. Dancing that dance with your partner or your family is so, so important, or your work folks is so, so important, but it's also, you can't eventually get to where you want to go if the seed had not been planted.
Mm-hmm.
So the other seed that I'm watching you plant mm-hmm. is a second coop, more chickens?
Yeah. No, not more chickens. I do. I want to talk to my dad about helping me get a coop and then you to help me get the right fencing around it. Up in the front,
yeah.
And what I want to put over there is different kinds of poultry, other kinds of poultry, because turkeys will go up in trees, peacocks will go up in trees. There's other types of things that we can get that will go up in trees and they'll roost and sleep in trees, but they also still need like other birds need a different way of doing it than hens do.
So you're talking about a separate coop, sleeping mm-hmm. area, living area for different breeds of fowl.
Yes, exactly.
I would love to get let's plant this seed right now. I would love to get the peacock.
Yeah.
That puts his whole plumage out that you see in like in a coloring book for children. I want that peacock here if it makes sense to have that kind of bird here.
Well, so remember at the hotel in San Antonio that we like to go to?
That's exactly what I'm thinking.
Okay. So they had
Alamo Plaza,
a place to
go to
bed.
San Antonio.
They had peacocks.
Yes.
And they had a place where they could go in and be safe. They had a brooder place where the mama peahen mm-hmm. would lay babies. We saw babies there one time.
And if enjoying the peacocks is part of your stay there, and that became part of it for us, you know exactly which rooms to stay in so that when you are on the balcony, you can see where they've roosted for the evening. They're right there in front of you.
I feel the idea of the San Antonio trip blooming here in this episode.
We can go get some tortillas at Trader Joe's when we're up there. You just planted a seed?
I did, exactly. They had a safe home, basically. But they opened the gate up and they come and go, you know, and they go up in trees and they live in trees and stuff like that. So we've got to have a place where we can have safety for them if there's a storm or just go to, they go to bed at night inside.
Predators at night. Sure.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But I don't necessarily want my chickens out in the backyard because they're going to eat everything and poop everywhere and
yes,
whatever.
They are.
Even if they go up into my garden some and whatever, those particular animals are not going to cause any problems like potentially chickens would. And so they'll just be, you know, kind of around the front. If we don't like that idea, then I think we should do it under a tree in the pasture.
We'll go deeper. The analogy of planting seeds in your life that have nothing to do with agriculture. I mentioned mine about the upcoming election cycle.
Well, I'm writing a speech right now about this new gardening thing that I have started out here. And the speech itself isn't necessarily about the new event, but more so about how the event came to be.
The philosophy behind it, yeah.
The philosophy behind it. Mm-hmm. And it's growing with grace. It has a lot to do with this evolution of thriving through trauma that I've dealt with in my lifetime and how I've done that in a garden sanctuary.
And as you said a couple times today, if you don't have mega traumatic experiences in your past, you just went through a collective one with the entire world.
Exactly, exactly. And so we're all in this space, yeah. Right? I'm planting the seeds of beginning this community that comes together, works together, eats together, maybe once or twice a week, not even necessarily consistently, but that we're coming together and it's an active working community that talks and all those things.
Yeah, if a garden is a sanctuary and you don't have one, maybe you can come to mine.
Or if you just want to commune with other people
right,
while you're doing it.
Where it's safe to discuss anything.
And I certainly want to commune
it.
With other people.
Yeah.
Growing with grace, thriving through trauma, and using the garden as a sanctuary mm-hmm. is the speech. And this is a thing that is helpful to other groups. And so I'm building a keynote speech, planting the seeds for that.
If the term trauma hangover resonates with you, mm-hmm. what seeds can you personally plant to get yourself out of that cycle?
Absolutely.
I love it.
And let me talk about what I've done out here with the farm and mm-hmm. what I've done over the years with learning to garden. By the way, I started understanding that my garden is a sanctuary back in 2020 mm-hmm. when I did a speech about that. And who knew how much that 2020 yeah. speech was going to be needed for people?
What a great life analogy. You've got to plant seeds. You've got to be intentional about what you intend on planting. You have to have some kind of goal or general direction in mind. It requires patience. It requires doing the work. You don't just plant seeds and walk away from them.
That's No. You have to be there to help. Yeah. You have to help the baby grow a little bit and get its maturity on so that you can walk away from it. And that's a lot of the way I garden is I'm developing and creating mature pieces of garden that can maintain themselves while I walk away and go to other things. And that's what I did with the Grow Local stuff all of those years. And that's what we've done together with some of the projects that we've come up with.
Yeah.
And it is certainly a lifestyle, but if you think about it, the concept of the garden and the concept of planting seeds and the concept of everything I ever needed to know about life I learned from the garden, these are not new ideas. Every philosopher, every spiritual master, every one of them, every good lifestyle coach uses plant analogy and gardening analogy. And
I don't think it's a surprise that during the pandemic, folks really started taking on, not everybody, but a rising trend was, I'm going to be home a little more often than I had been. I've always wanted to grow a little food in my backyard. And you've seen the uptick in growth of people doing that.
Yeah.
It's figuring out
that part of it is figuring out the best way for it to work out for everyone to, you know, learn, do it themselves and commune with other people while they're doing it. And that's, you know, a lot of what we've been doing here.
I'd love it if people could, I mean, this is a suggestion I would have, and I bet you agree with me, sit in silence for several days in a row if that's something you're not used to doing. Sit in silence, 10, 15 minutes.
5 minutes, anything.
Start somewhere. Mm-hmm. What are my intentions for the next year or 2 years, 5 years? What seeds do I want to plant knowing that if I am patient and do some work, what is that work? And if you come up with something, we'd love to hear about it.
And really shifting your mindset in that way of what's the point of planting these seeds, not just, oh, I've got to get my garden planted.
Right.
But
and
like,
not the magic three that people talk about all of the time. I got to get more fit. I got to make more money. And that could be some of it.
Yeah, could certainly.
But it's purposeful growth toward some kind of harvest someday.
And if you think there's anything that we talk about that I could talk to you about or I could help you out with.
Yeah.
contact me and get on my email list. I think that's a really good way to find out about this Growing with Grace if you're ever interested in coming out and doing some gardening and having dinner with me.
So how do I do that?
AislinnCampbell.com. When you go to my website, if you haven't already signed up for my email list, something will pop up right at my homepage and ask you to sign up for my email list. Sign up for my email list and I send out really just one email a month. That's about how much I can get pulled, we can get pulled off. And it'll tell you everything that's upcoming, any new ideas I'm throwing out there.
Including this Growing with Grace exercise.
Yes. And I've put several dates on the calendar and what I'm looking for is commitments to those dates and we'll do it and it'll be fun.
Sometimes I'm at our meat vendor and there is a cut of meat available that kicks off what the meal is going to be. And a couple of weeks ago, I saw a beautiful rack of pork ribs over at Turkey Hollow Farms.
My favorite.
And a seed was planted that day. I didn't know when I'd make the ribs, but I knew I needed to purchase that, keep it in the freezer for the time that ribs made sense.
It's like buying tomatillos. We bought the seed for a tomatillo dish.
I'm going to throw in the episodes that we've talked about ribs right here.
Oh, what a project, and I hope that you have a pen. Our first go-round with ribs was episode 1.15, which was also my first pot of beans. Episode 1.21, Italian short ribs, which was our very first Friends with Benefits episode. Episode 1.29, I processed the ribs off of a wild boar with a sawzall. Episode 2.12, Sticky Asian Ribs. Episode 2.21, where the ribs were useless. Tune in to find out what that means. And episode 3.07, the best ribs you've ever made, she said.
So I'm only going to talk about them again because we tried something brand new. But I almost got in trouble because we really need to work this out. You put down a huge stack of, what do you call them? Long beans. And I made a previous thing with some pork chops and a stew with these long beans in them. Think about like a green bean, but those are 4 or 5 inches long. This thing's like a foot long.
Yard long.
Yeah, yard long beans. Well, my intention was to create some honey glazed Chinese long beans alongside some Asian rub ribs. And when I told you that plan, you weren't as happy about it as I was.
No, because I was like, I don't have that produce for you today.
But you did. They were right there.
But those are for my customers that I'm delivering to tomorrow.
But I used them just like a couple days before with this stew.
But these are not for you now. So you have to ask me first what produce is available. Here's the deal. And I've told you this 1,000 times before. And this is why I'm trying to create this system.
I know what you're going to say. It, and then I'm going to tell you why you're wrong. Go
ahead. The main refrigerator, the produce in there is yours. You can do whatever you want with it.
Okay.
Please don't waste my hard work.
I'm working hard not to. You're not even going to go down that road.
The other refrigerator is the stuff that I'm selling or preserving for selling. Now, if you ask me, hey, do you have any carrots?
This is where your whole thing falls apart.
I don't have any carrots in my drawer. Because you ask me sometimes, what produce can I use? And I'm like, I don't know. What's in your produce drawer?
And then you put the shitty onions in my refrigerator, and I open the other refrigerator, and there's beautiful onions in there.
Well, you get the smaller ones.
Right. I get the... Okay.
You get the imperfects. You get the B-grade produce. It's true. Not necessarily every time, because...
That was not a three bullshit statement, by the way. I'm 100% correct. Go ahead.
Whatevs. What are we talking about?
Talking about how I couldn't use the long beans. So I had to shift. The ribs I can handle, right? That's easy. It's just a brand new rub. I'll go over it right now. Mix these ingredients in a bowl and then rub them all over your ribs. Put them on your baking tray real tight with foil and stick them in the fridge for as long as you can wait. Garlic, ground ginger, ground mustard, 5-spice powder, which I don't have. So I used all of the spices, the powders.
Better. Yeah.
So there was some ancho chili in that thing. There was some cayenne in that thing. And, you know, other...
You know what ancho is, right?
Yes. I know what ancho is. But tell the audience in case they don't know.
It's roasted poblanos. It's like... Or Anaheims that have turned as well. It's like the roasted, sun-charred version of...
Cumin. Yeah. Onion powder, coriander, and brown sugar. I'm going to put the recipe up. You're just licking your lips over there. But then you add to that soy sauce. Now, we had a conversation last week about gluten-free soy sauce.
Yep.
I found myself at the grocery store. I found gluten-free soy sauce, but I also saw a word that I wasn't very familiar with.
Tamari?
Exactly.
What's tamari? Not today.
Tamari and soy sauce are derived from fermented soybeans to create a salty liquid used in cooking to create a rich umami flavor. Tamari is the Japanese version. Soy sauce is the more commonly known as the Chinese version.
Oh.
The main difference is that soy sauce uses wheat. It's added to right. the recipe, and tamari is not.
Okay. Well, then I'm on it now. I do not want that in my system anymore.
So I purchased you some gluten-free tamari / soy sauce.
Yeah.
Used that in my rub. Rub it all over the ribs. You're eventually going to stick them in a low temperature oven. I went 275 for 3 hours, covered. Try not to open it up. I opened it up about 2 hours to make sure everything was going, but I'm not happy until that meat is falling off the bone.
Well, it was because I like licked the bone like...
What? Okay, so glazed Chinese long beans without the long beans. Okay, fine. What do I got? And it became a dump dish of all of the produce, all of the inferior produce that was in my refrigerator.
Some old turnips.
Old shrivelly turnips. Yeah. Onions begging to be put out of their misery.
Shut up. Carrots are all like hairy.
A zucchini. Hairy carrots. A zucchini and a squash that I'd purchased at the farmer's market. I was picking what would go good in kind of an Asian-Chinese vegetable blend.
Yep, it was good. And I even ate it cold the next day, too. Both of them.
But I didn't want those vegetables to have this honey glaze sauce that would have gone with the long beans. So it was a beautiful improvisation of garlic, my new gluten-free soy sauce. Yes, some honey. Butter, chicken stock that I got out of our freezer, chicken stock that we make. I don't even have a recipe for it. It was mad scientist time, right? And so that was our dinner a couple nights ago, was the beautiful Asian dry rubbed ribs, Joe's crazy mad scientist Asian vegetables.
They were delicious. Even after I criticized your Chinese whatever stir fry thing you do.
I think we were having some words with one another. And you had to pull out all of the arrows from your quiver to really cause a lot of pain.
And your Chinese stir fry is like, terrible.
Your stir fry sucks. Like, I know what you're doing right now.
Now you know
and I'm
what
not going to take the bait.
Like.
I'm not going to take the bait. By the way, your carrots are hairy.
Oh. Now I start crying.
Look for the recipe on our Facebook. Let's bring this episode home with our random question of the week.
Okay, here's kind of an interesting question. What do you pretend to hate but actually love?
What? This is when I kill time by repeating the question. What do I pretend to hate but I actually love? Nothing is leaping to mind. What do I pretend to hate that I actually love? Let's talk about why you would do that.
To prove something to someone else, to
because fit
in. Because it's obligatory.
Yeah.
I hate this song.
But I've got a guilty pleasure.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. You go.
I don't have an answer either. And the reason is, this is why, because everything, anything that I would even for 1 second believe I hate is not the truth. I actually love it. Why am I even here paying attention to it? Why am I even caring enough to think about it in a hatred way? Why? Because I love it. That's
this
why.
Is one of those things where there are might be easy answers that should just leap to mind. It's just not happening right now. So if you're listening, we've never done this before. We don't have an answer to the question. If you're listening...
I gave an answer to the question. Think about the things you pretend to hate. What do you actually hate? Do I hate anything? I mean, I hate people's attitudes when they're all triggered. But that's because I love the people. I hate Facebook, but I love to be there with the people. You know, I mean, you think about the things that you even would remotely think you hate.
But the question is, do you actually love, okay, you hate Facebook, but you really love Facebook. Is that what's going on?
Yeah. I mean, there's some of that in there.
If you go back to it, there's some kind of enjoyment in it. I would have to surmise.
The truth is that if you pay enough attention to something to hate it, you actually love it. That's the reflection. We'll talk about that on another episode.
Reflection?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but if something has leapt to mind of one of our friends here at the dinner table with us, I would like for you to reach out and tell us what that is.
Sure, yeah. We'd love to hear from you guys. prepare for what's coming.
Well, thank you so much for listening to another episode of Dinner Table Talks. We will be back next Monday with a fresh episode. In the meantime,
hit us up on social media, send us an email, DM us, whatever. We want to hear from you.
And we hope that you're enjoying the episodes as much as we enjoy creating them for you.
And then
I take no guilt or negative with the idea that we have talked about doing a cookbook for a long, long time and it hasn't occurred.
It
will occur.
I gotta go back because it sounded so weird. Mm. It sounded like long, long time. No.
Hold on.
Like you were trying to do.
That's offensive. And I'm not even putting that into the podcast. You understand? Stop laughing at my misery.